Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Do you want to set up the sound system? We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad.
And yesterday was the
university. Oh.
Even last night.
I see. Okay. Yes, so Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. Text 4. Nanyata,
Nanyata,
Te,
te
Kila,
kila
guru,
guru,
Gateta,
gateta
Karunatmana,
Karunatmana,
Yas,
Yas,
Ta,
Ta,
Ashisha,
Ashisha,
Ashaste,
Ashaste,
Na,
Na,
Sa,
Sa,
Britya,
Britya,
Sa,
Sa,
Vai,
Vai,
Vanik,
Vanik,
Nanyatate kila guru,
Nanyatate kila guru,
Gateta karunatmana,
Gateta karunatmana,
Yasta ashisha ashaste,
Yasta ashisha ashaste,
Nasabritya savaivani,
Nasabritya savaivani,
Nanyatate kila guru,
Nanyatate kila guru,
Gateta karunatmana,
Gateta karunatmana,
Yasta ashisha ashaste,
Yasta ashisha ashaste,
Nasabritya savaivane,
Nasabritya savaivane,
Nanyatate kila guru,
Nanyatate kila guru,
Gateta karunatmana,
Gateta karunatmana,
Yasta ashisha ashaste,
Yasta ashisha ashaste,
Nasabritya savaivane,
Nasabritya savaivane,
Na,
na,
not,
na.
Anyata,
anyata,
otherwise,
otherwise,
te,
te,
of you,
of you,
Akila Guru,
Akila Guru,
O Supreme Instructor of the entire creation,
O Supreme Instructor of the entire creation,
Gateta,
Gateta,
such a thing can happen,
such a thing can happen,
Karuna Atmana,
Karuna Atmana,
the Supreme Person,
the Supreme Person,
who is extremely kind to his devotees,
who is extremely kind to his devotees,
Ya,
Ya,
any person who,
any person who,
Te,
te,
from you,
from you,
Ashisha,
Ashisha,
material benefits,
material benefits,
Ashaste,
Ashaste,
desires,
desires,
in exchange for serving you,
in exchange for serving you,
Na,
na,
not,
not,
Sa,
sa,
such a person,
such a person,
Britya,
Britya,
a servitor,
a servitor,
Sa,
sa,
such a person,
such a person,
Vai,
vai,
indeed,
indeed,
Vanik,
Vanik,
a merchant,
a merchant,
who wants to get material profit from his business. Translation. Otherwise, O my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is sometimes found that one comes to a devotee or a temple of the Lord just to get some material benefit. Such a person is described here as a mercantile man. Bhagavad Gita speaks of arto jigyasur artarti. The word arta refers to one who is physically distressed, and artarti refers to one in need of money. Such persons are forced to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for mitigation of their distress or to get some money by the benediction of the Lord. They have been described as sukriti, pious, because in their distress or need for money, they have approached the Supreme Lord. Unless one is pious, one cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, although a pious man may receive some material benefit, one who is concerned with material benefits cannot be a pure devotee. When a pure devotee receives material opulences, this is not because of his pious activity, but for the service of the Lord. When one engages in devotional service, one is automatically pious. Therefore, a pure devotee is anyabhilashita shunya. He has no desire for material profit, nor does the Lord induce him to try to profit materially. When a devotee needs something, the Supreme Personality of Godhead supplies it, yogakshemam vahamyaham. Sometimes materialists go to a temple to offer flowers and fruits to the Lord because they've learned from Bhagavad Gita that if a devotee offers some flowers and fruits, the Lord accepts them. In Bhagavad Gita 9.26, the Lord says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktya paritam eshnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Thus a man with mercantile mentality thinks that if he can get some material benefit, like a large amount of money, simply by offering a little fruit and flower, this is good business. Such persons are not accepted as pure devotees because their desires are not purified. They are still mercantile men, even though they go to temples to make a show of being devotees. Sarvapadi vaniramuktam tatparat vaniramalam. Only when one is fully freed from material distress can one be purified, and only in that purified state can one serve the Lord. Rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchate. This is the pure devotional platform. Nanyata te kilaguro gateta karunatmanaha yasta ashisha asaste nasabritya savai vanik. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nera Vishesha Shunyavani Pastyachyadishkari Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha, Shiva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So continuing the discussion between Kulad Maharaj and Lord Nrsingadev, Lord Nrsingadev is trying repeatedly to induce Prahlad to accept or even to ask for some material benediction. Prahlad, however, as was noted yesterday, he is a great pure devotee of the Lord. As presented yesterday, he descended from the kingdom of God in order to set an example, to show by his practical daily activities how to be a devotee, so that people like us, who did not descend from Goloka Vrindavan, but who fell, and as a result of all of that, have suffered and been through too many horrible experiences in this world, so that people like us can observe Prahlad. Of course, reader's instructions, that's always extremely valuable, but also, of course, we cannot observe as such Prahlad Maharaj, but we can certainly read descriptions of how he conducted himself, what he did, what he didn't do, what he said, and his different moods. And in this way we can sort of enter the personality of Prahlad Maharaj and really come to see him and appreciate his very amazing level of pure devotional service. And through doing that, we can become inspired. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. We can become inspired to follow in his footsteps. Therein lies our hope. To follow in the footsteps of the great devotees like Prahlad, or even particularly in our cases like Srila Prabhupada. This term is there, acharya. There's acha and pracha. Acha means activity. Pracha means words or speaking. So, Srila Prabhupada, of course, described himself as the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He founded our particular association, society of devotees. But then he himself demonstrated by his own practical activities what to do and what not to do. He showed what it looks like to be a pure devotee of the Lord, so we could learn. And even Srila Prabhupada explains in different places that example is more important than precept. Precept meaning the teachings. The example is more effective, at least if there's a good example, is more effective in teaching those who need to be taught ourselves. Example is more effective as a teaching method, and we can learn more from seeing the example of great devotees, particularly like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, there is that verse, is at 3:21. Yad yad acharati shrestas, tat tat eve taro jana, sayat pramanam kurute, lokas tad anuvartate. That whatever actions a great man performs, common people follow in his footsteps. And whatever standards he sets by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So in the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada is talking about this point about how to teach. And Prabhupada gives very good example, very practical example. If a teacher, if someone is trying to teach, don't smoke cigarettes, but they themselves are smoking, then it will not be effective. Actually, we had experience. We were raising funds for building Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Temple. Many years ago, it was perhaps early to mid 80s, 83, 4, like that. And we were in Bloemfontein. And we were doing a particular sort of presentation, you could say, at the Bloemfontein Agricultural Show. And immediately across from our stand was the Cancer Society. And they were advertising, you know, big pictures, and they had literature, and they were speaking to people, don't smoke. And we noticed that there were two, three people there. There was one young man. Periodically, every half hour, or every hour at the most, he would go out and then come back some minutes later. And we wondered, does he have to use the toilet so often? But then one time, His Grace Ramanujacharya Prabhu went out to use the bathroom. And who should he see? Just around the side of the hall, a little back, was this young man smoking a cigarette. So Ramanujacharya spoke to him that, you know, you're the man, you're from the Cancer Society, and you're teaching like this, and you're telling people like that, that you're smoking. And the poor young fellow said, I know, I just can't stop myself. So Srila Prabhupada there, and Krishna there, in that verse in Srila Prabhupada in the purport, they're really exploring this point. It's such an important point. Achar is more important than prachar. Prachar is important, but achar is more important, one's activities. So therefore, for ourselves as aspiring devotees, it's very important to maintain the standards of Krishna consciousness for our sake, to keep us out of Maya, and for the sake of preaching, the sake of the people. So here, Prahlad Maharaj is making the same point, really, very much the same point, that you are urging me to ask for something, but I don't. First of all, I feel I don't need anything. So if I were to ask for something, it would simply be wasted. It would be superfluous. Use it. Let us use everything in your service for your pleasure, not for me. So I have no need. Therefore, there's no point in requesting me to ask for something. And on the other hand, if I ask for something from you, then I cease to really be, he uses the term vritya. Vritya means servant. Vritya means servant. But I end up becoming a vanik, a businessman. Doing business with you, my lord, but I don't want to. I have no interest in interacting and having a relationship with you like that. And I don't want to be like, I don't want to be that sort of person. It's polluting. I don't want to become polluted like that. I would rather remain the simple servant. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada discusses this type of subject on the basis of Bhagavad Gita chapter 7 verse 14, isn't it? It's something like that. That there are Chaturvida Vajante Man. 14? Or anyway, it's right around there. 15 maybe. Chaturvida Vajante Man Jana Sukritanarjuna Arto Jigyasu Arta Chiti Gyanicha Bharatarshava Chaturvida Vajante Man. Four types of pious men, Sukritanarjuna, means pious. O Arjuna, four types of pious people begin to render service unto me. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and those who are really searching for knowledge of the Absolute. So Srila Prabhupada discusses and refers specifically to at least two of these, the first two of these four categories of people who are approaching him, but in this vanic type way, business type way. The distressed, and even actually Srila Prabhupada in the purport, it's interesting, I don't recall seeing Prabhupada express it in exactly these terms before. Those who are in physical distress and those who are in need of money. In other words, they're also distressed, really. They need money. It's not just, well, let's have some more money. But they need money in order to continue. So these are essentially two types of distressed people. But they approach Krishna. And the way Srila Prabhupada translates the verse in his Bhagavad Gita is, they begin to render devotional service unto me. So, of course, we know this very well. It's so common in material existence that there are so many people who have at least some interest and some involvement in religion of some sort or another, be it Christian, be it Hindu, be it Muslim, be it whatever, be it worshipping the ancestors, African traditional religion, or just whatever it may be. So there's so many people involved in these types of practices. But to a very large extent, an extremely large extent, they are either doing it because they're distressed or just because they want material things. These are the main motivations for the religionists in this day and age. And even when they desire salvation or heaven or some after this life to go to a better place, even when they're desirous in that way, then in the majority of cases, their motivation, their idea, why should I go there, is the same. Because it's better. And because it's nicer and I can be happy there. In this world I'm not so happy. So this idea like just simply salvation. Salvation, of course, the meaning is to become free from one's problems. And in the religious context, through going to a place where there's no problems. So even this idea of going to heaven or getting salvation, it's very much in the context that let us go to a better place where we can be happier, where we can enjoy more like this. So in this way, materialism has infiltrated the process of God consciousness, at least amongst the common people. It's really infiltrated. And where it hasn't infiltrated, then the idea of some form of liberation, often quite impersonal, some idea of liberation is infiltrated. So it is as if you could say the enemy has taken over. Completely. The enemy has taken over. Materialism and impersonal liberation, these types of ideas, they have actually taken over. What is meant to be... What is meant to be something, well, just like Prahlad Maharaj, so sacred, so pure, that if God offers something, even unasked for, but the devotee will refuse, because it may interfere with my service to you, my Lord. Same situation was there with Sudama the Brahmin. Are you familiar with Sudama the Brahmin? That story? He was a school friend of Krishna's, classmate, 5,000 years ago. And after school they went their separate ways and became householders and went their separate ways. But Sudama, as a Brahmin, He was living actually in poverty. That did not disturb him at all. As far as he was concerned, it was very good. Let us live a simple existence and just focus on the Lord and not become distracted by material possessions and things like that. But he and his wife, they had some children. And his wife one day complained or explained that this is very difficult for our children. I don't mind living with nothing. But our children, sometimes they don't understand. Why is it that we're so hungry and we just cannot get anything to eat, even sometimes for the entire day? And so they become disturbed. So why don't you approach your old friend Krishna, he's now a prince in Dwaraka, and ask for some money or some materials, something, just so we can feed our children. So it is a long story, but Sudama did agree, and he went and he met Lord Krishna, and they hadn't seen each other for quite a number of years. So they had a very wonderful reunion, and they actually stayed up the whole night just talking with each other, and in this way having very wonderful, friendly, loving exchanges. Next morning Sudama walked back home, and when he was about home, almost home, he remembered, oh, I was meant to ask for money. I forgot. I was just with Krishna. It was so wonderful. I just forgot. And momentarily, Sudama felt some regret that, oh no, I forgot to ask for money for my children. What's my wife going to say? And like that. But then, just momentarily, that little idea came into his mind. But then his mind changed and he felt, actually, I'm so happy I forgot to ask for money. I think it was the Lord's mercy that I forgot to ask for money, because Krishna supplies remembrance and forgetfulness. Because if Krishna had given me money, I'm sure I would have become bewildered and tried to use it, at least some of it, for just material improvement. And instead of living in a grass hut, get some other more developed type of residence and so on. So he actually felt happy that by Krishna's arrangement, he was able to maintain this most extremely simple lifestyle for the sake of his Krishna consciousness. Of course, as we know, when he did arrive home, his little hut had been transformed into a grand palace. So, to make the state president's residence up the road look like a little hut. It was really a serious palace. But then he understood, well, this is Krishna's arrangement, what can I do? I didn't even ask. But the thing is that the devotee doesn't want anything material from the Lord. And even like in this case and in the case of Sudama, happy. If the Lord offers, they'll refuse. And if the Lord doesn't offer, they'll be happy. Because in this way, they can remain more absorbed in Krishna consciousness without being distracted or there being any risk of becoming distracted. However, on the whole, people involved nowadays in religion, their main interests are material gain, either here and or in the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek. Well, I got it. Because they will inherit the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? Blessed is somebody. Yeah, anyway, it's blessed are a couple of different types of people. Because someone will inherit the earth. Who was that? Anyway, I forget my Bible. Is it? Okay, let's just say. Blessed are the righteous, because they will inherit the earth. And what will they do with it? When you inherit, that means, you know, your assets have increased. And blessed are the meek, I think, because they will inherit the kingdom of God. And what will they do there? It's a much nicer place. Yeah, we'll have a good time. The Muslims, they have an even more blatant version of it, that when you go there, every man gets some number, multiple women. Yeah, this is very specifically stated there. It's something like 15 virgins. Hare Krishna. But anyway, what can you say? This is material. This is so material. So either that, or some idea of salvation, get free. A liberation like that. But this is opposed to Krishna consciousness. This is opposed to the very process itself that they are undertaking. It's like, it's bizarre. It's like becoming a vegetarian so you can ultimately eat more meat or something like that. You know, it's just like, it's crazy. And it's, their position is totally, totally in conflict with the actual process in its real essence. We've mentioned before, Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture, one of the first classes he gave in Boston, in a university. And there are a lot of students there. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned this little, well, it's a verse or a little part of a verse from the Bible. Give us this day our daily bread. Or from the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And Srila Prabhupada said, what is this verse? Give us this day our daily bread. Prabhupada said, religion is meant to be love, for love of God, for developing love of God. But what is this verse? Prabhupada said, this verse is about love of bread. This is what this verse is about. And where does God fit in? Oh, well, he can give us the bread. But actually, the point of interest is the bread. So this is far from pure devotional service. In fact, it's the polar opposite. In fact, generally the idea of the materialistic religionists is that by the grace of God, we will involve ourselves in activities which are anti-God. Material sense gratification and just material life in general. So, anyway, for people who are very materially attached, you may not be able to just extricate them like that from their material attachments. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam elsewhere, it's in the second canto, says, akama sarvakamava mokshakama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether you are totally desireless, akama, it actually means the devotees, or akama sarvakamava, or if you have all material desires, or moksha karma, whether you're desiring liberation, what should you do? Tivrena bhakti yogena. You should engage in the actual process of devotional service. Not just some concocted process. But you should actually engage in the process of devotional service. Yajeta purusham param. And in that way, try to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that way, you may achieve your material objectives by His grace. But the thing is, if you engage in actual devotional service, your heart will become purified in the process. So there's a possibility that you may then get that purification and get that realization that my material desires or my desires for liberation, they're no good. Rather, I should simply try to please Krishna and not worry about my liberation or whether I make material progress. This is the idea. So in that verse there from the Bhagavad Gita 7, whatever it is, maybe it's 15 actually, or maybe it's 16, Srila Prabhupada has translated that these people may, not that they do, but they may begin to render devotional service. In other words, it's not just like they render devotional service, but they may begin to render devotional service. So if one is materially desirous, if one is in material distress, as we know, so many distressed people turn to God. It's really very common. My grandfather, who fought in the First World War in the trenches for years, he told me there was a saying in the army, You never find an atheist in a foxhole. Foxhole means a hole which has been made either by a bomb falling and exploding and then it makes a hole, or from some cannon or artillery piece, a shell lands and it also makes a hole. So they would advance across the battlefield from foxhole to foxhole. And they'd run between them and dive into the foxhole. We made it. So there was a saying, you never find an atheist in a foxhole. Yeah, they're all like, oh God, in one way or another. So yes, when people are in distress, it's not uncommon that they turn to God. Not that all of them do. And Prabhupada, in the purport of that verse in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada makes the point, if they're not pious, Sukritana, the term is used in the verse in Bhagavad Gita, pious people may begin to render service, but if they're not pious, Prabhupada explains, then they may just turn to liquor. That's also quite common. Or they may even just lose their minds, become just too bewildered by the distress. Or they may adopt some extreme political ideology. It just gives them comfort to become fanatical about making some political change. Or they may even commit suicide. That also is not very uncommon amongst people who are terribly distressed. But they also may begin to render service. Oh, Krishna, please save us. And similarly, if they're really short of money, it's, you know, a related type of situation. But it's explained elsewhere that if they do not actually become attached to rendering service, and if they do not really appreciate the value of serving Krishna and the greater picture of what can be achieved through devotional service, that we can go back to Godhead and get out of material existence altogether. If they don't start to appreciate that, and if their interest is simply how to get money or free from distress, anxiety, etc., then when, by Krishna's mercy, or if by Krishna's mercy, they do get out of their distress, then they say, thank you, Krishna, for getting me out of the distress. And now I'm going to be fine, thanks. But if I get into distress again, I will be calling for you. But in the meantime, goodbye, Krishna. There's a famous story, I don't know if I should tell it, but about the devotee from Rondebosch who was going to the interview for a new job. Not one of the temple devotees. But he had an appointment, 2:00, you got to be there. And of course, if you want to get the job, you better be there on time for the interview. But he couldn't find a parking place. And he's driving around the block and praying, Krishna, please give me a parking place, but there's no parking place. And he prays, Krishna, I promise I'll chant my 16 rounds, just give me a parking place. Goes around the block, no parking place. Krishna, I promise I'll follow every Ekadasi. Just give me a parking place. No parking place. Krishna, I'll only read Prabhupada's books, I'll never watch TV. Just give me a parking place. I'm your devotee, please. No parking place. So he's going around, it's almost 2:00. Finally there's a parking place. He drives into the parking place. It's okay, Krishna, you don't need to worry. I found the parking place.
Anyway, there are many. There's a number of stories like that. The man who's fixing his roof, and he slides down the roof, and he calls out, "God, save me!" And somehow, there's this big nail sticking out just on the edge of the roof. And as he goes over the edge, his clothes catch on the nail, and he's saved. And he says, "Well, I'm really glad I put that nail in there." So this is the point, though. It is the point in principle. That if one is seeing Krishna simply as a facility for getting free from distress, then when you're free from distress, you don't need Krishna. And therefore Krishna says, or Prabhupada translates Krishna as saying, they may begin, if they're pious, they may begin to render devotional service. But that doesn't mean they have now taken up devotional service. There are some steps further. More realization has to come before you can really say that now they are situated nicely in devotional service. Because it's just like, in principle, when your car is running low in petrol, you go into the petrol station. When your car has plenty of petrol, you don't go into the petrol station. Why would you go in? There's no reason to go. So similarly, if one feels the reason to approach God is for relief from distress or to get something or along those lines, then when one doesn't need something, then there's no need for God. He becomes just, you know, irrelevant. But Prahlad Maharaj, he knows that the goal, the real goal of human life, is to actually render service to Krishna for no other purpose than pleasing Krishna. And he himself feels, through devotional service, I'm so happy. I don't need anything more. I don't want anything more. I just want to serve. So as it works out, the Lord insists. The Lord orders him. And, you know, a devotee, if the Lord orders, the devotee, of course, feels, well, all right, I must do it. So the Lord ordered him, ask for something material. So Prahlad thought, and he came up with something. My father, and of course we know who his father was, and what his father was like. You're familiar with Hiranyakashipu. He was just a mega demon. Actually the greatest demon who's ever lived. My father, and the person who he harassed the worst was Prahlad himself. But Prahlad says, my father was such a demon, there's no doubt he's gone to hell, or he's going to hell. So my request is, please save him from going to hell. Just see the consciousness of the devotee. Anyway, that will be discussed further in the forthcoming verses. But it just further illustrates the consciousness of the devotee. Even when he was forced by the Lord to ask for something material, he thought of something Krishna conscious, which didn't compromise his Krishna conscious situation. So such are the great exalted pure devotees of the Lord. They value devotional service so highly that they do not want at all that some material idea comes in even slightly, even just a shadow of a material, anything material comes in, and then just mixes with the devotional service and pollutes the service. It's just like the worst thing that could happen. Whereas, on the other hand, generally materialistic people or religious people these days, in so many cases, the whole idea, or the at least the great part of the idea, is how we can live nicely materially by mercy of the Lord. I saw even in Buddhism in Russia, part where I go, there is it's the headquarters of Buddhism in Russia, the Mongolian people, but in Russia they're Russians, but they're Mongolians. And so we visited the headquarters of Buddhism in Russia and met the leader of Buddhism in Russia. And we went into the temple, and on the altar there's every demigod you can imagine. And many you can't imagine, actually. There's just so many demigods. And Lakshmi is there, and they call her Lakshmi. And Durga is there, they call her Durga. Indra is there, they call him Indra. Because Buddhism was imposed upon people who were following that process of demigod worship and just the Vedic process. And they have now, rather than the strict Buddhism, you know, Shunyavad, that's a hard road to follow. That's a really hard road to follow. But they just, you know, kept their practices with a veil of Buddhism over it, and they come and pray for this and that. They do. That's what they do. And the head of Buddhism in Russia, at least then, he's changed now, he was a meat eater. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Some comment? No. Comes the question.
One realization I got, I would like to know if it is correct. The example was when I was on books once, in my first one, and I said these books will make you, become happy and peaceful. Like, I said, no, I'm happy and peaceful already. It's like, so I said, I asked Mickey, well, what's your happiness based on? So then he started saying different things, this and that, and then one attractive woman walked past, so he pointed to her and said, also that, my happiness is based on those things. So I said, okay, but that's all right, but these things are all like temporary. And whereas these books can give you happiness which is beyond temporary material things. These things can all be finished once you leave your body. So he said, no, it's fine, I'm going to heaven, so it's fine. So I said, well, are you sure you're going to heaven? So he said, yes. So I said, but if you're so attached to those things, like that attractive woman, how are you going to go to heaven if you want those things, and how are you going to go to heaven? He said, no, in heaven those things are there too.
The best of both worlds.
So, and the realization I had, which I'd like to know if it's correct, is a verse I've been meditating on a lot from Bhagavad Gita lately, is where Krishna says that by surrendering unto me, through knowledge of me, I become attached from fear and anger. So, Guru Raj was saying that in society today, materialism and impersonalism they've become very much all pervasive. And he also mentioned that some people just take shelter of liquor. So, is this like related to this verse, like how probably explains it in the purport, attachment and then the impersonal fear and then frustration.
Yes. That's, what verse is it? 4:10.
Yeah.
I think it's 4:10. And then they developed love for me.
Yeah.
They overcame those things and developed love for me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Prabhupada discusses it in the purport. What was your point, though?
What I was saying, all today's upper base of this materialism and impersonalism,
right.
Some people take shots of liquor intoxication. Is it related to this verse, like how the material disease, either you material attached or you become impersonalist, or you just take shots of void and frustration?
Very much so. Very much so. Because they're getting no taste from their religion, the actual religion. So they have to introduce materialism in the guise of religion, and then they get happiness from their materialism. But they say, oh, I'm getting it from my religion. And people who take shelter of liquor, you know, in a certain sense, it's a type of impersonalism. Because, you know, I'm not happy being me. So I drink and I become something which is not me. You know, I become sort of like another person or even less of a person. And then now that's better. I don't have to deal with me. So, you know, it's got at least a connection with impersonalism. Because even materialism is a form of impersonalism. At least it's got a connection with impersonalism. Because what are we as people? We are eternal servants of Krishna. But then we feel, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be me. I want to be something which is not me. And actually something which is a lot less than me. You know, a materially conditioned soul. So their sort of real personalness at least becomes severely reduced and severely perverted. So it's got a connection with impersonalism. And then you become an animal. You know, talk about becoming less of a person. Yeah. Or you become a tree or a microbe. You become one of the bacterias which I'm trying to kill in my ear with antibiotics. Talk about you know, becoming less of a person to the point where you're sort of, you know, it's hard to really see them as persons as such. They just happen to be living entities. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.